Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist. And we come to you live every Thursday from 7 p.m. until 8, and we talk about business. And we do it from the perspective of creative alchemists. We have guests who are experts in their given area, their craft. And we've spoken about leadership and project management, and we've spoken about finance and 401ks, replanning for the COVID. We've covered many, many topics over the time we've been doing this. And it's we're in March, so we're coming up on our, or maybe we have hit our 1 year anniversary. We started right at the beginning of COVID. And we came up with The Creative Alchemist because business requires creativity. And in this day and age, transformation, and alchemy is all about transforming. They say the alchemist used to be able to transform lead into gold, and that would be a wonderful skill to have in this day and time. Any company that's struggling and would like to take that struggling lead trajectory and turn it into gold. So we bring in guests who can help you do that, and tonight will be no different. We have a guest who's going, she's got a wonderful background. You're going to love this. If you'd like to call in and ask her questions, you can do that. The phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. Before we introduce our guest, you know I never take this journey alone. You have to meet my co-host, Lori. Let them know you're here.
Hey, everybody. It's Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design, and we're pretty excited to, again, have you here for Thursday night. And we have lots of exciting things. I do want to announce that on April 28th, we will be having an event with the Lenox Hill Neighborhood House. So if you want to participate in a charity event, the invite will be up on our social media sites. There are 40 other designers, and it should be some pretty awesome tablescapes. So Lenox Hill Neighborhood House, if you want to donate. Let's talk about tonight's guest, who's pretty impressive in her own right. Her name is Lisa Caputo, not related to the psychic, although that would be good for a bookkeeper. And she's more than just a bookkeeper, and she's going to talk about the different roles that bookkeepers can have and possibly what role you may want for your business or what type of bookkeeper you may want for your business. So, Lisa, please introduce yourself, tell everyone who you are, and what you do.
Well, hi, Lori and Ted. I just want to say thank you for having me here tonight. I'm excited and nervous all at the same time. As Lori said, my name is Lisa Caputo, no relation to Teresa. I am the owner of L&W Caputo, Inc., what I refer to as a bookkeeping solutions, not a services company. And the reason why I say solutions is because that's the benefit I bring to my customers and my clients. I help them find solutions for how to monetize their money. I'm sorry, I'm very nervous. It's been a long time since I've public spoken, even though I'm not public speaking. So let me reset. So I help
fine.
Them find solutions. Excuse me?
You're doing great. Take a breath. Okay.
I help them find solutions to how best to monetize their money, optimize their operations to reduce costs, and grow a profitable business. I often refer to myself as what I call the steward of their business. So a steward of the assets of their business, their people, the decisions, and the transactional flow that occurs inside that business. I have been working in business-to-business relationships and contract management for over 30 years. That actually set me on the trajectory for the company that I have today. I am also a paralegal and notary with a bachelor's degree in business management with a concentration in business optimization and accounting. So with all of that in my wheelhouse, I use that to not only be a bookkeeper, but to take a deeper dive into my clients' operations to help them reach and hit the targets that they want to achieve financially, growth, and I actually refer to it as powering the engine of their business, or some people say today, or CFO bookkeeping.
So I think, thank you, Lisa, and thank you for being here. So take a deep breath, casual, because, you know, we have lots of questions. And I know Ted was starting to ask what that, I guess, Ted, you were going to ask what that meant, or CFO bookkeeping, or how, what is that?
So,
well, yes, go ahead.
So CFO, so because, so there's, I mean, so there's two types of bookkeepers, right? There's bookkeepers who just oversee accounts payable, accounts receivable. Sometimes they process payroll, track expenses, pay your bills, pay, you know, generate your invoices and your billing. Now, I'm not saying that at that. And then there's what I consider the CFO type of a bookkeeper who, as I said, is the steward of the business, but they to help the business owner reclaim their time by equipping them with the financial data that they need to effectively run their company, to better analyze their operations and make informed decisions. So it's all about looking at how the company works, how from the internal operations, the processes, the procedures, the workflow, you know, where they're spending money, you know, where they can better spend money, like I said earlier about monetizing, you know, how to best monetize their money, you know, putting together that roadmap for them with their financial statements so that they can, you know, so they're meaningful and they're valuable and they have, you know, like I said, that roadmap, a written document as a guide to get them to their future, the future success of their business. That's your CFO bookkeeper. That's the role that I play.
Ted, were you going to ask the question or should I?
No, go ahead. You can go, Lori.
So someone is starting a business and they can afford a bookkeeper, right? So they try and do it themselves. At what point in running a business do they stop and say, oh, my God, I need a bookkeeper? And what type of qualifications should they look for?
So to answer the first question, at what point do they need a bookkeeper?
Mm-hmm.
Depends upon the size of the company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can manage your, you know, what comes in and what goes out, you know, on as simple as an Excel spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
When you start growing, maybe hiring an employees, at that point is when, and you need to be the face of your company. You want to have a partner in your success. Everyone will have a an accountant, but an accountant doesn't get down into the transactions of the business. That's where the bookkeeper comes in and helps you understand your cash flow, what you're spending, what your operating expenses are, to what your income is, and where you need, you know, so it could be 1 year, it could be 2 year, could be 3 year. It just really depends upon, you know, how quickly your business is growing. The second question, was it what type of experience?
What type of experience? What kind of questions should you ask someone when you're hired? Like, if I was going to hire you, what type of questions would I ask you to know that we're a good fit or that I need, you know?
Well, first of all, when a client comes to me, we have a discussion. Just kind of a get to know you. I check the pulse of your business, you know, get a little history of when you started, where you're going, not necessarily, you know, how big your company is, what your plans are. And then I ask to see your financial statements. obviously under a non-disclosure, and I can then help you determine whether you need a bookkeeper or what type of bookkeeping, I shouldn't say whether you need a bookkeeper, what type of a bookkeeper you need. Now, as I explained before, there's two types of bookkeepers. Some people just want a bookkeeper that is very transactional, right? They take care of your accounts receivable, your accounts payable, you know, and such, like I mentioned before. Other clients truly want that partner in helping them understand the language that's in their financial statement. So, right, you've got a balance sheet, you've got your statement of cash flows, your income statement, which is your profit and loss. You know, what does that mean? Why, you know, why does my profit and loss statement say that I have money, yet I've got no money in the bank? That's basically a question that most of my prospects ask me. Can you answer that question for me? And yes, there is an answer to that question. So it's really up to the comfort, I guess, of the owner. You know, a true bookkeeper is the agent for the owner. It's really at that choice. It's like, at what choice do you decide? That's like asking someone, I typically do my income taxes, but at what point should I give it to an accountant?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, some people like to do their income taxes and don't realize the benefit of having an accountant do it because they know what each thing means. I'll give you an example. You're paying health insurance through your company, and that needs to be accounted for in your accounting system in an appropriate way so that when your accountant does your corporate income tax, it is accounted for as a certain expense. So, and the typical owner, business owner, wouldn't do that. Another example is you have a website and you're building a website. You would just, as a business owner, not knowing, would classify that as website. Mm-hmm. What a typical business owner doesn't realize is that that website is considered a fixed asset of the company. It has a value to it. So that is the benefit to having a bookkeeper, helping you classify your expenses, make sure your bills are paid on time, maintain your credit with all of your suppliers, you know, negotiate the best price sometimes on, you know, price things that they're buying, validate your invoices. You know, I bought X widgets, but I was billed for 10 widgets. Somebody needs to look at that. You don't have a bookkeeper doing the checks and balances. You're paying for things that you might not have received.
And that's of value.
Excuse me?
That's of value.
Sure, sure. You know, I mean, it's at a certain point, a business owner has to recognize that they need that partner in their success. Mm-hmm. They need that person to help them succeed, right? All the time that the value that a bookkeeper brings a small business owner is reclaiming their time. Business owner shouldn't be spending their time counting receipts, you know, validating invoices, maybe even writing invoices, paying their own bills. You know, they should be the face of their company. They should be out there actively growing their business, doing business development, networking, meeting with clients. You know, but again, it's really at the, you know, it's really, I guess, a personal preference is probably, you know, the best way to say it for a small business owner. Yeah.
Well, it would seem even some larger companies, and they would be classified even as mid-sized. And I'm thinking of an example There was a law firm, I think they were based out of Chicago. They were doing $450 million in revenue. And one day the employees showed up for work and there were padlocks on the door because the company failed. They went bankrupt. So apparently while they were, had $450 million in revenue coming in, they were spending more than that and they ran out of money and they shut down. No warning to the employees at all. So I understand you're working with smaller businesses, but it sounds like you're helping companies avoid that situation.
Correct, correct. Part of what I do and a good bookkeeper will do is manage daily cash flow. What's in the bank,
right,
what's coming in, what we owe, what we have to pay, and report that back to the business owner and project, you know, what is coming in for the month, what's possibly collectible, all the while watching and knowing what's coming due. So, yeah, so you don't end up with zero money in the bank. Absolutely.
And well, so you were – go ahead, Lori.
No, I was just saying, that would be a good bookkeeper. Go ahead, Ted.
So I want to get to the CFO part, and but I want to so you also have other skills, you know, other competencies, other things that you offer and that are that deal with the details of cash flow, what's coming in, what's going out. But I'm wondering, do you also help people with knowing if they're pricing their product or service correctly, right? So in the example of the law firm, they may have been doing things that for free that they should have been charging clients, or they were not billing properly, right? So somewhere they missed – something was missed, right? There was a big gap, and the gap was big enough for them to go out of business, even though they had – you know, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. So I'm asking, do you look at, and I guess that's not so much strategy, but whether your client is properly charging and properly billing their clients?
That's a very good question, Ted. And yes, I do. I look at, so part of looking at their cash flow, their accounts receivable, and their accounts payable, and their general business operating costs, right? So, and I amortize that. So you've got your insurances, you have your health insurance, you have your sales tax. Take that all into consideration and look at what it costs them per month to run their business, even down to, you know, what's your gas expense? You know, what your car payments, the car payments or the vehicle payments are, you know, what have they average, you know, that's a hard number, that's a fixed asset. Typically, what your, you know, gas history was, you know, you look back historically to tell part of the story as well as forward to capture what the story is going to be going forward. And based on that analysis, you can then determine what the number needs to be that the company needs to pull in to pay all those bills, right? What do I need to operate every month? Say my bills are $10,000 a month. I need to bring in profit of $10,000 a month. Well, how do I do that? Well, let's look at how many billable hours my clients have. Like you use, you know, the law firm as an example, right? There's, are they billable 40 hours a week? They billable 30 hours a week? Okay, what's your billable rate? You times that out by the number of days in the month. And so, yes, I do perform that type of analysis. Some, and it, and oftentimes it has shown a light not in the way that the client liked. They didn't really recognize that they were running way lean, or, you know, just skimming the surface, not making any sort of a profit. So yes, so I do, that's part of what I typically do when I first go in, part of my analysis of the business, get a handle on, you know, what's going on, taking that deeper dive, looking at the historical data to project what needs to happen going forward.
Okay.
To ensure their profitability, ensure, like you said, that the employees don't come to the door one day and the place is closed.
Right, right. So you brought up something that's really important in today's environment, gasoline. So what impact is that having on small businesses with their cash flow and their price points?
Another great question. I was just talking to a contractor that I help out, and we came up on exactly that, the surge in gas prices.
Right.
Everybody's been going to a restaurant lately, and they're seeing they've been charged that, you know, 3.5%, the surcharge, right? And in the beginning, nobody liked it. Now everybody's used to it. At some point, that there has to be a surcharge. And based on the business, there's not really a one-size-fits-all for this answer, and I really wish there was. The contractor that I was speaking with, he lives probably 100 miles away from where his client base is. Now, he can't charge a surcharge just because he chooses to live 100 miles away from where his clients live. But how does he increase his prices to, you know, to gain that extra money back? Nobody wants their prices increased. Everybody already thinks everything's too expensive. So how do you get creative in, you know, in your, as you said, you know, your price point? I work with a installer who his price list says, if you are 25 miles outside of where my office location is, then he starts charging what they call a trip charge. Now, this installer happens to be in the middle of Long Island. So that could be reasonable. But, yes, businesses are going to have to start looking at that. And, unfortunately, their clients are going to have to bear it. How it's explained, again, that's still evolving. You know, a lot of my clients choose not to charge for travel from one client to the other. Again, it's not really a one size fits all, but it's definitely a conversation that's within my network, and you know how to best advise your client based on the business that they perform.
Interesting. So, you know, and I was going to ask if gasoline prices are affecting everyone. It sounds like yes, because if you go to the restaurant, I assume it's impacted Uber. Especially if you live in a city like Chicago or New York, and you take Uber to go see a client, Uber's going to charge you more. So does that mean you should charge your clients more? Seems like there's no way around this, huh?
Right, right. And it's really then. You know, the language, like you said, Uber's already made the decision and people are paying it. You know,
right.
Certain industries, I think people will pay it. Like Uber, they're going to pay it, you know, but, you know, how is this, you know, contractor or even, you know, let's take an electrical contractor, right? He drives all over the place. How is he going to, you know, they already have most of your service industry, right? So an electrical contractor, your HVAC, they already have what they call a service charge, right, for the first half hour that they're there. Well, that typically in the past covered their gas and maybe the first half hour of their labor, right? So that industry sets up their service call fee to cover the first half hour of labor and their gas. That's not
going
to, right? So whatever margin you built into that service call charge is now being eroded because gas is going up, right? So then, again, in that industry,
right,
you say, okay, now I'm going to charge you, you know, a $25 trip charge. You know, I don't know. It's yet to be seen, really. you know, whoever jumps first, like Uber, is you know, going to pave the way.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a ripple effect, because if you think about it,
right,
soon we'll see the price increase in grocery stores. And if we see it in grocery stores because the trucks have to deliver and they're paying more for fuel, that means at some point, whether it's Lowe's or Home Depot or any other supplier to a contractor, they're going to get that passed on in the same way food is. And the guy who makes concrete, you know, his whatever supplies he needs will be affected by that. So it seems like we're all going to get hit. It's a never-ending cycle. Like, and then everyone else's expenses go up. So, wow.
Well, case in point, have you looked at anybody out there has natural gas, but have you looked at your supply charge since January just to bring it to your house? Mine went up $70 a month. And I can't call anybody and say, no, I'm sorry, don't bring me my gas to heat my house. So, you know, right? Okay, I just have to, you know, suck it up and, sorry if I can't say that on the air, but, and pay it. You know, to your point about contracting materials, I mean, electrical supplies have gone up double in the last 6 months. You can't even put a quote out there and hold it for more than 5 days without wire going up. How do you price a job when the price of wire changes daily? Daily.
It's the future.
What do you do? You write on your estimate. You know, my estimate is good for today only. And at some point, even if you say it's good for 15 days, and that wire goes up again, you know, you keep eroding your margin that job.
How's that affecting you, Lori? Yeah, I was going to ask you, right, exactly.
No, absolutely. That's exactly what I just said, is we're having that exact problem in furniture now, where it's just a nightmare because every day, you know, freight costs are going up. So now freight costs sometimes are more than the piece of furniture. And how do you explain that to a client who bought their furniture 5 months ago and now it's just being delivered?
The situation? Yeah, I told a client today they had ordered a piece of furniture. They had put down a deposit several months ago. There was, let's just say the balance was $100. When I went to pay the bill today, they said, no, I'm sorry, it's $145. I said, no, I'm sorry. They said, well, the price changed. And that was it. There was no discussion. The price changed, and you have to pay it. They weren't even holding to their original bargain of the price, the original price, and we already put a deposit down. It's crazy. And now what am I supposed to do? Go back to my client's customer and say, I'm sorry, now you have to pay me $45 more?
So you're helping companies deal with that. You could say this is an anomaly, you could say black swan, right? No one saw gasoline being $5 a gallon. And so a lot of businesses, I assume, didn't survive COVID. And so there may be some businesses that get hit with this also.
I'm sorry, could you repeat? Was that a question?
Well, I'm asserting that, you know, there were businesses that did not survive COVID, and then there are businesses now that this is not a normal event, gasoline going up way it has.
Right.
So there may be some businesses that don't survive. So there are people who will really need your support so that they can strategically and logically price their products and services so that they can actually weather this storm.
Yes. You hit the nail on the head. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
you
know,
it's,
go ahead.
It's a juggling act, you know, like you said, strategically. How do you explain it to your customer? How do you set yourself up inside your company? You know, lots of times companies look at, say, okay, before we raise our prices, you know, what are we currently spending money on that we can, you know, reduce? You know, we bring in coffee every morning, or I buy everybody lunch. We can't do that anymore. Right? So, you know, you don't like to take benefits away from your employees, but, you know, you don't really have a choice when you're looking at, you know, how do you, you know, properly manage your profit and loss and your expenses. You know, I have a project that I want to do that I budgeted for. Let's say I wanted to upgrade my website. I want to rebrand myself. Not going to be able to do that now, right? I'm going to have to use those funds that I've allocated and earmarked for that project. That'll roll that back into my operating expenses because I don't want to raise my prices to my customers. I'm going to try to weather this, you know, this material, you know, inflation and the gas, you know, prices go surging the way that they are. But yeah,
right,
that
right.
That is a conversation, you know, that I, you know, openly and willingly have with my clients and clients, you know, to coin what you said, Ted, weather the storm. You know, let's be creative.
Right.
How can we do this? Right? I mean, you know, prices are going up everywhere and you still want to stay in business. How can you? What changes can you do internally to possibly not raise your prices and still keep that profit margin, right? What is the margin that you need to maintain your business at a profitable level? So what can you,
right,
you know, what can you cut out? You know, is there, unfortunately, I don't know, are people going to have to start laying off people? You know, I don't know. It's very scary right now. It's a very turbulent time. You know, it's kind of like we're on, you know, on that teeter-totter thing, you know. And my goal and, you know, and my job as the steward for my clients is to help them through that, you know.
Right.
Looking, again, looking at their financial statements, right? What can we do? You know, managing them tightly. Are we monetizing our money correctly? You know, are we leaving money on the table? Maybe there's something that we're not charging
well,
for.
That's where I was going to go. My question was going right down that street. Yes, you can cut out coffee or other things. But before you start laying people off and shutting doors, what are you giving your clients for free that you technically could charge them for without raising your prices? Do you look at those things?
Do I look at those things? Yes. All the time.
Do some of your clients, I would think some people may say, well, I can't charge for that because my competitors don't, or we've always done that for free for clients. You know, it's part of our service and we, you know, it's complimentary. We do it. And they sort of push back on charging for it.
Well, my
that?
Role is to be the advisor, right? And it's ultimately up to the business owner whether they want to leave money on the table or still continue to provide a service gratis. You know, that's ultimately their decision. My job is to show them how leaving that money on the table and giving that service away or not charging for that service impacts their profitability and where they want to take their business. That's ultimately their choice. I just advise.
Right, right. Well, and I guess the other thing is, you know, if we go back to the law firm, if you have your attorneys engaged in complimentary services as opposed to billable hours, then you're still paying your attorneys and they're not generating sufficient cash to justify their presence in the firm. so you eventually run out of money. I mean, that's part of what I'm getting at.
Correct, absolutely, especially if you're in a business where you charge by the hour. You have to look at, so, and that's part of the analysis that I perform, and I mentioned that earlier, is how many hours a week do you want your staff to be billable, whether it's an attorney, it's an electrician, it's an interior designer like Lori, right? How many hours does she need her staff to be billable? Is it 6? Is it 8? And what do you do to optimize their workflow, their tasks? I look at who does what. Is there a duplication of effort? Is somebody, it's a big word in retail, stealing time? Are they appropriately allocating the time that they're working for that client, on their timesheet, just like with the attorney, right? I mean, and attorneys bill very differently. They typically roll up to the 15 minute. You call them for 5 minutes, you bill for 15. That's not right. Everybody knows that. So if you're going to call a lawyer, you better take up your 15 minutes because he's going to bill you. So how that's really, again, it goes back to the optimization of your people, right? What are your people doing every day? What do you need them to do? Are they properly managing their own time? Is there redundancy? Should they be doing something different? Maybe there's someone else in the company that performs that task better, has, a deeper skill set, moving things around, right? So part of optimizing the business and managing the cash flow, is looking at also your people, right? Your people are an asset of the business, and you want to maximize, right. As a true leader, your job is to maximize what I call their superpower, right? So you can have somebody that's, trying so hard, but that they just don't answer the phone really well. They don't know how to take a message. But you know what? Jane over there, she's great at taking messages. So I'm going to switch those two people. Right? Right? So, you've got to take that deeper dive. You've got to, when you want to grow or when you're in a situation that this world is in right now, you've got to look at not only what's coming in, what's going out, but how your people are spending their time.
Right. Because it can create an opportunity cost, right? For with the law firm, you really, sounds like you would drill down and say, okay, you have an attorney, you bill them out at $600 an hour, you have a paralegal that's billed out at $300. Here are some things the paralegal can do instead of the attorney doing it, and have the attorney focus on those $600 hours that you can bill to clients. So with that said, I'm wondering, Lori, if someone wants you to come out and do an estimate, it's considered a free estimate, right?
Sometimes it is, really? Sometimes it's not. More often than not, we will do an initial consultation if I'm not sure if we're going to end up working together. Or if I really need to see what's going on, sometimes we'll do, like a Zoom or a FaceTime, or like a Facebook, and then, they don't necessarily have to pay for that either. But we do charge a consultation fee, sometimes. So
okay.
It depends.
All right. And because I'm also wondering about, electricians, plumbers, that's something you'll, we do free estimates.
Is that
a place that people are going to start looking at and saying, we can no longer do free estimates? You call us, we come out, we charge, we're on a clock.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
Yeah, I guess it depends on, it's interesting. I guess it depends on the field that you're in and the technician, type of technician that you're hiring, and what it is that you really want.
I'm just looking at, you know, gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you drive out to someone's house, you do a free estimate, and the person's like, well, I want to speak to two other firms. It's like, that's fine. You know, $200 minimum cash, period. There's no way around it. People may be less likely to look at three different companies if they had to pay some money up front for the estimate. And for the company, for the electrician, he's covering his costs to go out and you know and do this. And then he has to use people to say, okay, we need to get costs for these parts, and there's some work to be done there.
Right.
So I charge you for the estimate, or you just hire me.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we all have gotten used to that free estimate, right, Ted, that you talked about. And Lori had said, you know, in her business, it depends. And I know that's very loose, but I'm sure there are circumstances built behind that it depends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before you make that decision.
Yep.
You know, you had talked about, you know, we're, as a matter of fact, my husband and I were looking at putting in new windows, and everybody is offering a free estimate. Now, having worked for an electrical contractor, I know that the estimate cost to the company now rolled into what the profit margin has to be for that job. So they are now recouping that cost. And I can't speak for other companies, but I'm sure they already have or will be soon looking at how to recoup that estimate cost in the price of their job.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of companies send the owner because I don't want to pay my guy $40 an hour to go and do an estimate, right? That costs me a lot of money. A lot of small businesses, right, the owner is still the face of their company, so the owner goes. I personally like meeting the owner of a company if they're going to do some work around my house, depending upon, of course, the level, right, of what has to happen. But, you know, I do think the world of free will still remain free in the word, but that cost, if it's not already being absorbed in the job cost, the estimate to the customer, it soon will be.
Right. Yeah. I can imagine some of your clients will soon want to have that conversation with you. I mean, he's paying $40 an hour to someone, and even that, you know, the owner, I would even look at and say, well, you're paying this guy $40 an hour as the owner. How much is your time worth? If your time is worth $60 or $75, then we have to look at the other activities. What's the opportunity cost? It may seem on the surface that it's easier for the owner to go, but sometimes it's just not that cut and dry.
Correct, exactly. And I think a lot of you said a very profound statement. It's not that cut and dry. And, every business model is different. Every company is different. How they run their business, how they structure it, what their infrastructure is. It's all, you know, it's not cut and dry. So each situation is unique. You know, for myself, I've worked in technology, hardware, software, construction, electrical, vitamins, interior design. So, I've got a flavor. I understand the pulse of, you know, many businesses. So it's easier for me to have those conversations because I've been in that environment. I've been in that industry. You know, so I do have some insight into how they can, you know, what their opportunity costs are, how to, again, how to monetize their money, you know, more effectively. But it's really an evolving, in today's times, it's just going to evolve. I mean, even like Lori said, you know, so she, maybe she's, you know, her business model is, you know, it depends, right? And again, we talked about what, you know, what's behind that. But maybe she needs to move to a business model where they're all going to have to be over Zoom now. Or I'm going to have to start charging, you know, or looking at what other designers are doing, right? Does anybody else in my industry charge for a consultation price? You know, every company out there, small or large, has to start looking at, you know, how what is going on in this world is impacting their business, impacting their clients, their profitability, you know, and the longevity and trajectory of their company, you know.
Yeah.
Can we, right?
Yep.
Right? Do we need to single source from just, I don't know, Lori, let's use your business as an example. You know, do we need to single source from one furniture company so that we can drive down, you know, and get a better cost?
Right.
Right? So that's a conversation, you know, mm-hmm. You know, that you may want to consider, you know, or something you may want to consider when you're looking at these challenging times that we're facing. You know, I know in the electrical industry, the contractor, in the contractor world there, you know, they are having those conversations. You know, you've got some, you know, you've got your three big guys out there, your Revco, your Schwing, your AC Electric, you know, coming to their table and saying, hey, you know, if I bring all my business to you, what can you do for me? Unfortunately, some of them are so big that it doesn't really matter. And I'm not saying anything bad about any of the three that I just said, because I've worked with them all and I love all the people there. But, you know, look at your procurement. Look at, you know, how is that happening? You know, is it better to shop on the web? Is it better to go to the store? I mean, you know, it just looking at the different components of your business, again, it goes back to your financial statements and your expenses, right? Either what you're spending, you know, to operate your business, or your expenses in what you're procuring to operate your business or to supply to your customer. You know, each facet, you know, the facets of every business is different.
Right.
But at
right.
some point, right, at some point in time, you know, even when you're not having these challenging times, Ted, you still need to always look at that. That's something that I want to preface to the community who's listening. You always have to be watching your expenses. Always have to be watching how you're monetizing your money. You can't keep you have to keep your eye on the road. You can't take your eyes off the road.
Of course. So
and
if
that goes
take
back
that.
To the I'm sorry.
Go ahead. That goes back to what? That goes back to what?
I was just saying, and that goes back to the original conversation that Lori had asked, right? At what point does a small business owner know that he needs to hire a bookkeeper?
Yep.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
I would say to all the small business owners out there who are struggling right now with the topics that we talked about, this is probably the time for you to hire a bookkeeper, or not even a full-time bookkeeper. Just hire someone to take a look at what's going on. You know, sit down with them, have them look at your business, what, you know, historically, and what's going on now and where you want to go. And, you know, just hire them as a consultant, you know, to come in and just spend some time with you and set you on the right path, help you, you know, define a roadmap, give you some suggestions on what you could do. You know, it's not necessarily hiring a bookkeeper. It's finding that partner that could possibly help you, just like an accountant that does your taxes. You have to hire them once a year.
Right. So
right?
What you said keep your eye on the road. I'd like to take that analogy. So, yes, you keep your eye on the road, but the bigger picture is what road are you on and where is it taking you, right? So there has to be like this. When you're driving, you want to go somewhere. You're not just on the road driving just to drive. So I would say the same thing for a business. You don't have a business just for a business. So when you're looking at from a CFO hat, it sounds like you put on, how do you work with them in being on the road from a CFO perspective? Is that different from being a bookkeeper, or is it basically the same?
Well, if you ever called a CFO a bookkeeper, he or she would be really mad.
I know that. Trust me.
Yeah,
I do.
Right? So I do not consider myself a CFO in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
But, yes, no, I don't. No. but, yes, so you do have to keep your eye on the road, right? You got to keep your pedal on your foot on the pedal, so you're continuing to go, and to your map
and
that you talked about, right?
And you're between the dotted lines, right? So you're not drifting from one lane to the next, right? And if you are going to switch, use your turn signal. So that's keeping your eye on the road. You know, you're not going to crash into the car in front of you. You're not going to cause accidents behind you, right? That's on the road, but even though you're doing all of that, there's a destination you want to get to on that road.
Correct. Correct.
You may have
and
to
that's
get off
what
at
I
an exit and get on another road, right?
Right. Right. And how you and that's what I spoke about earlier is your financial statements should be your roadmap to the success, to your roadmap to where you're going to go.
Okay.
Right. So they show you your profit. They show you your loss. They show you your cash flow, your assets, your liabilities, and such. And based on, they tell the story of where you were historically and where you can go with your business. So case of, you know, like we talked about before, with, you know, your price point, your profit margin, you look at where you want to grow the business to. And again, this is more of a, it requires a longer conversation, but the financial statements are the road. If they are properly set up, properly organized, your transactions flow correctly and they're categorized correctly, your financial statements will be valuable to you when you analyze your operations to make those informed business decisions, that roadmap of where you're going. So that financial data helps you effectively run your company today, helps you analyze your operations today, and to make those informed decisions, that roadmap of where you want to go. You know,
okay.
Do I have an investment? You know, do I have, as an example, we talked about earlier, you know, I want to do a project. I want to rebrand myself. Do we have the money for that?
Right.
Those financial statements are going to tell you whether you do or you don't, or when you will, or how do you get there? You know, I don't purport to be an accountant. I partner with a very great accountant, and that's kind of where I let her take over. I don't, that's kind of one step above, you know, where I would want to go. You know, I would partner with her to make sure that, you know, bring her into the conversation as well. To have that deeper level of a discussion.
Okay.
You know, any
right.
good
so
any
the,
good bookkeeper.
Go ahead.
I'm
any
sorry.
Good bookkeeper. Go ahead. Any good bookkeeper.
Good bookkeeper is going to align themselves with an accountant who has that skill set.
Okay.
You know, just like, right. So just like we talked about, you know, there's different types of bookkeepers. You know, you want a good bookkeeper as myself. I've aligned myself with an accountant who looks at that at a much deeper level and can forecast out based on, you know, her experience, her education, her credentials. You know, that's where, you know, there's, right, so you've got your bookkeeper, your accountant, you know, the CFO, like we talked about. Yeah, very, very good question. And, you know, it's not a simple answer, I guess, is probably the best way to say
okay.
it, or in time for this conversation.
Okay. So no, if someone did want to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
If somebody wanted to get a hold of me, they could email me at caputobookkeeping@gmail.com, at caputobookkeeping@gmail.com, or they can call. My office is 631-878-2124, or my mobile, which is 602-620-8885.
Perfect.
Completely awesome.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for being so informative and helpful and, you know, having answers to all of our questions.
Thank you. Well, I hope it was beneficial to those who are listening as well. And, you know, if anybody has a question, something that we talked about, please feel free, you know, to call me or email me. I would gladly make myself available to have a discussion with you, answer any further questions you may have at any time, you know, in the future.
And you are a wealth of information.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for being our guest this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great brainstorming session, real-time situation. So I really like that. I appreciate your time and expertise. So thank you.
Anytime.
All right. Very good. So everyone, we'll be back next week. Stay tuned Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Thank you for being our faithful listeners. Thank you, Lisa, for being our guest. And Ted, we'll see you Thursday.
Thank you for having me.
We'll,
thanks. Bye,
we'll
everyone.
We'll be back.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.